Welcome back, everybody. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I am Brian. That is Luke. And we are joined right now by Daryl Ingram. I am in the Waukesha studios. You're listening to us on 540 AM as well as 101 FM, the Shaw. We're also listening to us on Madison on 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM, always streaming at Devil Radio. And your calls, texts, and tangents welcome at 844-967-2789. But I want to welcome back to these airwaves my radio partner from a few years back, Daryl Ingram, former Green Bay Packer and a fantastic economic man. You've got a master's in economics as well, a couple different degrees. And this man is awesome. I love him, and I want to give him a hug, and he won't let me. Together, we are a quarter ton of fun. This is Daryl Ingram. I love this guy. How you doing, Daryl? Good to see you.
Hey, man, I'm doing great, man. Good to see you guys. Appreciate being on the show. It has been a couple years.
Yeah.
It's time to go, man. It's been a couple
COVID
years.
COVID kind of sucked it all away.
Yeah, since we were on the radio and, you know, fighting the good fight, if you will. But happy to be with you today.
Yeah, man, I can't help but get a smile whenever I see you. I just love being around you. All right, so I got to ask you about this because we've talked about the NFL and the subject of race with the NFL. You and I talked a lot during the Colin Kaepernick situation. Not that it's a situation, you know what I mean? But the circumstances around Colin Kaepernick and everything. And you and I have been talking about this situation for years. So when Brian Flores comes out and brings a lawsuit putting teeth behind the words, saying that the NFL, alleging the NFL is for racist practices, I think about you and I think about, wow, water is wet. But this is something going on. I want to hear your initial reaction.
Well, this is a step that hasn't been taken before, and I think that's probably your point. I think that's the shock and awe of it to everyone. It makes perfect sense. It was just a matter of time for something like this happened. I liken this to Curt Flood in the 70s, fighting the reserve clause in baseball.
Yes.
He was the canary in the coal mine. And if he didn't do that, we might not have free agency in baseball now. I also liken this to Reggie White in the class that he had. One of those class members was one of my college teammates, Hardy Nickerson, in the White versus the NFL for the NFL free agency. And if that hadn't happened, if Reggie in that class of folks hadn't been willing to be the canary in the coal mine, if you will, we still might not have free agency in football. So I think what Mr. Flores or Coach Flores is doing, he realizes that, hey, I may be done coaching football. This may be it. But this was so egregious and we're so tired of this that somebody had to take a stand, and I'm hoping people will join me in this. So we'll see what happens on that regard. But this, to me, is courageous and brave, but it's also something that was bound to happen. We talked before during the Colin Kaepernick situation that was going on about the systemic racism of the NFL mirroring the systemic racism in our society. The thing that's interesting, Brian and Luke, is that I don't think the owners even realize that this is racism. Like, they don't get it. Like, they don't understand that it's, you can't do some of the stuff that they're doing. So, you know, and just a real quick example, about a month and a half ago, the NFL announced that it was going to end race-based brain testing adjustments for the CTE lawsuit. So if you were black, you were assumed that your cognition, your cognitive ability was less than a white male. So when they tested you, the difference between your PAR level or homeostatic level started lower. And so if it did not decrease from that low start point, they were able to step aside and not pay probably hundreds of black former NFL players where the white players got paid. That's I mean, you guys remember from your history books, that's eugenics, right? That's end of 19th century. That's crazy. But, and it's, you know, I will say this, that is kind of how healthcare is in this country. It wasn't necessarily just the NFL that was doing that, but they based it on healthcare. So they ended that practice. So we've seen, you know, since George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, some of the other things that have happened, we've seen the NFL say, hey, we are for Black Lives Matter. We're going to have this social justice messaging. We're going to put end racism on the back of our football helmets and our goalpost pads. We're going to do all this. But they don't realize the systemic racism of not hiring Black people to power positions in their own league when 70%+ of the players are Black. But that's racist. They don't get that, Brian. They don't understand, or they must not get it. You know, well, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to me, and I will be interested to see what you guys have to say about it.
Well, you gotta think about this. Like, NFL ownership, right, was created and put together in the 30s and 40s. During the I think during that time, they also had a ban on Black players. Part of the people who agreed to do that, their children are owning and running the teams still now. I'm talking about the Rooneys, the Maras, the McCaskies, were the Hallises at the time. So you already you have like a generation of people. Like, if you walked into a room and Virginia McCaskey was there, her instinct is to go, "Oh, sure," you know. These are the people running the NFL. So it's not surprising for them to have no idea, to be completely unaware of it. I heard recently about George McCaskey about the McCaskies making efforts to actually mitigate these circumstances, but in the middle of doing so, they come across as ham-handed by doing it. But at least they're trying to do something. And just to give everybody a quick rundown, I have a paragraph here. This suit from Brian Flores, he's a class action lawsuit, which means other coaches can join in and other teams can join in if this is happening, against the NFL and his team, specifically naming the Giants, the Broncos, Dolphins, alleging racial discrimination in hiring practices and operations. The suit alleges the Dolphins owner Stephen Ross over Flores' $100,000 bonus for each Miami loss in 2019, asserting Ross wanted the number one overall pick. And in which Joe Burrow won overall. Miami got Tua instead. And then when John Elway and the Broncos staff showed up late and disheveled to a job interview in 2019, it was clear from the substance of the interview that Mr. Flores was only interviewed to satisfy the Rooney Rule. The Rooney Rule is implemented by it's named after the Rooneys, the owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that, you know, you must at least consider hiring a coach of a minority.
Two.
A minority
you have to have coach. Two minority coaches in each interview process.
But if you just do it as like I'm just doing my due diligence, it doesn't help anything. It doesn't make any difference anyway.
Well, so there's a group called the Fritz Pollard Alliance. Fritz Pollard was a coach of the Akron Pros in the 1920s. He was a Black man. He was a player coach. So he was like the first and kind of the last Black head coach until Art Shell was the coach of the Raiders, you know, 70 years later. Anyway, the Fritz Pollard Alliance presses the NFL ownership on the promotion and hiring of minorities. So the Rooney Rule, Art Rooney was the head of the NFL's diversity committee, if you will. It's funny to even say that, so that's where the Rooney Rule gets its name from. The rule originally was, if you're going to hire a coach, you had to have a Black person interview for that job, a minority, excuse me, not just a Black person. They changed it to coaches and GMs. They've extended that also to offensive and defensive coordinators, and now to Luke's point, they've said you have to interview two. And to your point, Brian, so Coach Flores got a text, and you didn't mention this in your paragraph. Coach Flores got a text message from Belichick saying, hey, Brian, congratulations. I hear you got the job. And Brian says, Coach, are you communicating with Brian Flores or with Brian Daboll? And he goes, oh, I thought you were, you know, Belichick had both Bryans in his phone, and
I believe both worked for him.
Communicating to the guy that got the job, although the news had not been announced. So Belichick told Brian Flores that, sorry, they're going to go with the other Brian, and yet they interviewed Brian Flores afterwards. They had already made their decision. Belichick already knew, and yet they interviewed him afterwards to check that box that we talked that we were talking about, just to check that box. And that's what the lawsuit in part is over. Like, you can't, like, I don't want to just be interviewed. So I retired Brian in 1994. Mm-hmm. That's 30 years. I love football, and we've talked about it. I even with my two master's degrees, I know more about football than I know about anything. But I did not coach football. And the reason that I did not coach is because I didn't see a shot at ever being a head coach based on how it was 30 years ago. Here we are 30 years later, and it's still this systemic racism is keeping qualified people out of these jobs for whatever reason, right? For whatever reason. It's wrong. We all know that. So it's 2022, man. This is crazy. Yeah. It's crazy that we're still dealing with this, but we probably will forever. I hope not. But some people have to make a stand. So to your Bears, the Bears hired a black GM. They are trying to, do something differently. And we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it goes well. We can only hope. But this like you said, ham-handedness, all of this stuff has to change. Just let people compete in the marketplace and to the victors just to, go the spoils, so
and
to
just
say.
To let everybody know as well, there that marketplace is already skewed. There's a there's an in-depth piece by Alyssa Gutbrod that came out as well. But there's a new one that was just released a little bit ago. The one I quoted was from 2012. But there's also one that was just released this last couple of months about nepotism in the NFL. And I'm not talking about just general racism. I'm talking about hiring the same coaches over and over and over again. And yeah, Belichick hires his sons all the time, whether they are good or not or whatever. That still doesn't look good. And it doesn't help actually getting more differing thought in there, which is what you want in the first place. But the NFL already has a nepotism problem in that they only hire people because they want to have the control control over everything. And you can control people you already know. But again, it just becomes the same people, like you said, being hired over and over again. And if you're on the outside, it's a long way to the top.
This mirrors society, Brian. I can't stress that enough. So the 13th Amendment did away with slavery, 1865. The 14th Amendment, shortly there, a couple years after that, was about citizenship, right? And about due process and all the things you get if you are a citizen of this country. One of those things is voting. So the 15th Amendment gave black men, women still couldn't vote, right? But gave black men the right to vote. We see that voting is under assault in every state that Trump thinks he should have won in. They are trying to, including Wisconsin, they are attacking voting. So our way of being as a country is under attack. And the NFL just mirrors that. It's just a mirror of society. And so let's not let that point be lost on anybody listening or anything like that. These owners take their lead from what's going on in society and what's always been going on in society. And they don't want to, it's simple for me. It comes down to, they don't want to share the abundant resources that this country has. They don't want to share that. They want to maintain the power narrative. And that's happening in society. That's why they don't want minorities to vote. They don't want minorities to vote because they don't want to share the power. And
Daryl Ingram, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And you got to come down to this Waukesha Studios. It's pretty darn awesome. And I got chairs that might even fit us, too.
My butt's not that big, man.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Really appreciate you, Daryl, stopping by today. We got one more segment left in the day. Give us a call, 844-967-2789.